Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. We're in a different location, and today it just seems like our connection is not going to work for us. So our live stream is affected by that. We apologize for that. But nonetheless, we'll keep on going with the podcast, with the blog talk show, and we'll just send a message out on Facebook that our connection has been affected because of our location. We're in a different room and locale, and that has affected us greatly. All right? But the number you can call is 657-383-0944. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery. And again, we are here at Bordeaux Public Library. And in keeping with our theme in the month of January, we're focusing on education and how to best address the needs of at-risk students and learners. And one major barrier to learning for many children in public schools across America, more directly in Nashville, that's where our focus is called learning disability. For most parents who love their children but are simply not aware of this obstacle, it's hard for them to understand. And this factors into how well a student performs in the classroom and how they may behave at school in general. In reality, the issue is not just that the barrier is demonstrated at school, but this is often mistaken as being normal even at home and in the neighborhood. So we hope tonight, with this topic, learning disabilities in schools, what parents need to know, what it is that parents need to know about. Okay, that's our topic, and I want to apologize again for the fact that we having a connection problem here where we're located in this area of the library, and so that's affected us. And so you bear with us there, and we will give our monologue, and then hopefully you can give us a call. I was hoping that people can connect with us on Facebook and give us feedback as well. But nonetheless, and we'll kind of send that message out on Facebook. so everybody will understand that we are having some technical difficulties. All right. But again, the number to call in tonight is 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. That is the number to call us at. Let's get to our monologue here. So again, our topic is learning disabilities in schools. What parents need to know. The text in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 4 reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Lastly, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In these four verses, we can see two things at least. And that is that children should show respect for their parents, but at the same time, parents should be careful not to upset, disturb, or provoke their children, or put them in a predicament where they will be unsuccessful. All right? So, three things I'd like to do. One, I'd like to define what learning is. Let's talk about what learning is. A lot of times you in schools, you hear a lot of professional jargon and terms that trained educators know about, and psychologists and people like that. But parents, often are not very familiar with what they're talking about. So this becomes an issue for them. So I want to spend a little time because this learning disability is a very important thing, and it does factor into a lot of the classifications for children who are considered to be troubled learners, who have special education needs and things of that nature. So I want to talk about what learning is, and then how is it that you determine or measure when someone has learned. And then we'll go into specifics about learning disabilities. And we'll open up our phone lines from there. And so give it in about a few minutes, we'll do that. So learning. It is a process, right? And this process involves acquiring new or even taking current knowledge you have and changing it, right? Knowledge, your behavior, your skills, values, or even choices that you make. That's what learning involves. It's to take on new information, behaviors, skills, values, or choices, or to change those that you have. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't know about that one. But certainly when humans engage in the learning process, this is what's involved. So how do you measure if somebody's learned something or not? You'd be talking to your blue in the face and they still ain't learning nothing, it seems. You know you've successfully learned a concept or a behavior or value when you're able to demonstrate that you understand that concept, that skill, that behavior, that value. When you're able to show that, you can explain it to somebody else and help them to understand it. Those are good indications that you've mastered or you've learned that. You can apply your knowledge in different ways. In other words, learning is a noticeable change in your behavior or knowledge base after receiving information. That's how you know when somebody's learned an idea. And let me just say, there are formal processes of learning, and then there are informal processes, right? So in the traditional school setting, that's a formal basis of teaching and learning. But then you can learn through observation, social observation around you, people that play a major role in your life or that you see all the time. You learn from them as well, informally. Okay? But either way, you're taking in information. In education, there's an adage that says, the question is asked, is the glass half empty or half full? Well, in reality, you should understand that every child has been exposed to something or someone from birth to wherever they are. So to assume that a child knows nothing, that they are not influenced by anyone or anything, is a poor assumption as an educator. All right? So let's talk a little bit about what learning disabilities are, how they're manifest. Learning disabilities are neurological-based processing, or in other words, challenges in sorting out information. And it has to do, when we talk about neurological, the brain. Okay? The challenges can interfere with the learning of basic skills like reading, writing, and mathematical computation. They can also block higher level skills such as organizational skills, time management or planning, academic reasoning, long or short term memory, and even attention. Now, maybe you've heard people talk about these in S teams with people with 504 plans or with the special education goals. There, although the term learning disability includes many different types, there are three main types of learning disabilities, and they are reading disabilities, written language disabilities, and math disability. So using those skill sets, you'll be applying those in across the curriculum, as they call it, or in different content areas, different things that you're studying. And if early on you have challenges with reading and demonstrating what you've read through written communication, or to applying logical processing skills through math, there are major challenges, and that's a setback for you. Now, each type of learning disability can include several different disorders. But let's discuss five of the most commonly known learning disabilities seen in classrooms all across urban America, particularly in the public school setting, One of them is called dyslexia, and it is a learning disorder that involves a difficulty in reading due to a problem identifying speech sounds and learning how they relate to letters and words. In other words, you may hear somebody talking about they have a decoding problem. The inability to listen to sounds in speech when people are talking and associate them with letters and words, right? It's called dyslexia. That's one. And this is another one that has come out in last 10, 20 years. And while I appreciate the research that has been done and some of the results that have been presented, some of it I still question. But I understand why it is identified as a medical issue. But we'll talk about that. And it's called ADHD, which stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. What is that? And this medical condition, as it's being labeled, happens when a person has differences in their brain development and brain activity that affect their attention, the ability to sit still, and to display self-control. Now, here's the problem. In a public school setting where everybody's expected to sit behind a desk and wait until they're directed to speak or act, and if you demonstrate your inability to pay attention to the teacher who's up front, to sit still or to show self-control, there's a tendency for people to say, well, you may have ADHD. Okay? Here's the thing. There are seven different learning styles, and particularly for African-American males and often African-American females, the ability to get up and to move around and to socially interact is a key way in which they learn. So if the expectation is that you sit still and you be quiet and you wait until I tell you something, it's a good chance you're going to lose those children, largely because of their learning style and they have different learning needs. And what happens is in public school settings where the expectation is everybody move, act, and behave on the same level that is expected, you lose children, especially the more gifted children and those that have a greater understanding than what you're able to keep up with. ADHD. Then there is what's called dyscalculia. Dyscalculia. It's a math learning disability or math disorder. Let's understand something about math. It involves logical processing of concepts, numeric ideas or concepts. And if a person doesn't have the discipline early on to learn how to take those in, understand them, code that information, and logically follow sequences and things of that nature. Interestingly enough, at birth, there are certain toys you can buy a child that will help develop these prerequisite skills to mathematical development. When they're 2 and 3 years old, puzzles and manipulatives go a long way to help with that, right? And they're learning colors and association of shapes with other shapes and images and placing things together. That sparks logical processing skill set. And it's also relative to reading. Okay? But dyscalculia is another one of these types of learning disorders. Then there's what's called dysgraphia. Dysgraphia. It's a deficiency in a child's ability or a learner, period. This happens with adults as well. In fact, it happens at an early age, and it follows them through latency in life. But dysgraphia is a deficiency in the ability to write, primarily handwriting, but also coherence, right? So from second, third grade, there's expectation that you demonstrate certain abilities in writing or this, and being able to coherently place thoughts in a sentence and what have you, these early skill sets. Well, believe it or not, parents, when your child is at home with you, if you took 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just reading out of a book to them, they're learning how to follow the sequence of information. And this helps them later on with their ability to coherently place thoughts. And as they begin to develop their fine motor skills through using crayons and things like markers and pencils, they're able to develop these skill sets in writing and associate writing with thought and expressing that. But where there's a deficiency, this exists. Now, let me just get through this last, and then I'm going to pose a question to you. The last one is processing deficits, a learning disability called processing deficits, where problems exist with the ability to process, recognizing and interpreting information, taking in through the senses. Now, yeah, child, what did you learn? Nothing. You didn't learn anything, that you went all day and didn't learn anything. The interesting thing is that anytime you have an experience and you're somewhere in an environment, you see things and it has an impact and effect on you. You feel the temperature in the room, right? If it's damp in there, if it's wet, if the ceiling got a hole in it and it's raining outside, right? But you're not able to interpret or process that information. It's called processing deficit. This is another learning disability or classification of such. Now, what happened, the question I wanted to ask is, when we look at all of these, it sounds like to me that if at an early age, during preschool years, parents knew how to take their children and focus on sitting them still, developing these skill sets, investing in materials that would develop them early on, that it's highly likely, I think it's reasonable to say that it's highly likely that they won't have these learning disabilities that everybody labeled them with when they go to school. What happens is when we're able to label you like that, we're able to push you to the side, and you tend not to get the best instruction, and people are able to justify eventually developing a paper trail on you till they run you right out the door. And when you get old enough where we can't socially promote you anymore from one grade to the level, then we just say, okay, you're on your own. Don't get in trouble, because they're going to blue light you in the streets then. And the only graduation you're going to see is from juvenile detention to the pen. Now, parents, tell me we ain't got work to do. Tell me that we don't really need to wrap our minds around this concept that is often used to justify the paper trail, particularly on African-American children in public schools, called learning disabilities. All right? If you can learn how to play a game and to sit still and use a phone at an early age, you're not going to convince me that you can't master these other formal skill sets. We've got to stop allowing people to run their game on us. All right, briefly, before we go to the phone lines, I see we have our callers in line there. Let's talk about the symptoms. How do you know when these are displayed? These teachers, these professionals, these counselors, and folk like that, what's the setup? What's the hookup? What's the hookup? Symptoms of learning disabilities. They say when you have short attention span. Now, again, let me emphasize, when I see a child capable of doing what they want to do and doing it for hours, what you talking about, Doctor? Playing video games, shooting a basketball, swinging a bat. That's what they enjoy doing. And you can't seem to pull them away from it. I got a question about their attention span. Is there something that they're interested in that they want to do? Poor memory. Don't let the children fool you. They ain't crazy. I don't remember. Oh, yeah, you do. Put that little belt to your tail, then you remember real quick then. It'll come back to you in the hearing. Difficulty following directions. Inability to discriminate between or among letters, numerals, and sounds. These are indications of learning disabilities. Poor reading and or math or writing ability. Eye-hand coordination problem. Some people are just clumsy. People that are poorly coordinated. But you can dance and juke, boy. I'm talking about young babies down the street. They doing that thing. I can't even do some of them. Difficulties with sequencing. And lastly, disorganization and other sensory difficulties. Last thing I'll say about that, disorganization. If a child comes from a disorganized home, and if it's me, and they see me disorganized, it's quite possible they'll pick up those tendencies. When your home is well-structured and you plan activities, and these activities are geared toward growth and development, socially and emotionally, for children, guess what? That's what they will meet the expectations of. They'll come right on up to that. And they will not falter. They will not fail. And you guess what? Can't nobody run that game on you. Your child got a learning disability, so we can't teach them. Well, doggone, if you can't teach them, where they going to go? you got to stay in the school because the state compulsory school attendance says so. But I just got to go to the special ed class or somewhere else where everybody else not, so you don't have to deal with me. You don't really want to understand where I'm coming from. But parents, in honesty, in all honesty, the truth is there's a lot we can do to manage these things from home before they get to school. If you're listening to Talk Straight, our topic tonight is learning disabilities in schools. What parents need to know. And on with us tonight in our studio is 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host, is with us here in Nashville. And it looks like my good brother out of Selma, Alabama, Brother Don Bellwell. Welcome, guys, to Talk Straight tonight.
Thank you. How are everybody doing?
Mighty fine. Mighty fine. Pastor?
Hey, all right.
Okay, okay. Don, how you doing, man?
Ooh, I'm looking at Jeff Sessions on TV. You're running the same old Southern strategy, like you said. And
okay.
I'm looking at the whole thing. And I'm telling you, Mr. Dockery, being that child, that dad was Dr. King's strategist, and the game that they played with us in the public school system when they integrated, that's a very sore topic to me. Because you just brought up stuff about the counselors and the games they play. They still playing those same games. And I was going to say, Mr. Doc, I was looking up the other day the National Banking Act. I ran off into the comptroller of the currency. So as I'm reading and studying this process, it's like, yeah, y'all played a big game with us.
Okay.
And and the grown-ups I'm looking at right now, these African-Americans, especially here in Selma, I hope they all hear me. I don't like Negroes and Masons and Greeks playing witchcraft with a bunch of good old boys.
Okay, well.
So that's what I see.
We can't,
yes, sir. That's what's going on down
that.
Here.
All right.
Huh?
We can't control that so much, Don. But I do want us to look at these issues with learning disabilities. Because what I'm seeing is that while these classifications are out there and they've been justified through studies and notes and taking and what have you and reports, it sounds like to me there's some things that we parents can do to be better prepared to address those things. What does it sound like to you, Diane, out of Peoria, 8112? What does it sound like to you?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand everything you guys said.
I was saying that when you look at how these things are defined, these different classifications of learning disorders, it sounds like it's stuff we can do at home to address those.
I think that's very true. There is things you can do at home. And then once they start getting in school, then they'll have some of the confidence because people with deficit disorders have a tendency, people make them feel like they can't learn and they can.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They make excuses. Well, look, watch this, though. The excuse is made for not even trying to teach you by labeling you as learning disabled.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying everybody, but I was a special ed teacher, and part of the challenge is being willing to spend the time to find out what the barrier is for learning for each individual child and not cookie-cutting all of them and labeling them as the same thing.
That's true.
So you find that there are a lot of gifted children who nobody's really tapped into their gifts and their motivational drive for learning.
Right. I agree.
That's
with
a big issue. That's a huge issue. Pastor, any questions or comments so far?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about when you said that they were saying basically that they're unable to learn and they don't learn. I don't think they want to teach them. That means that they can go a short way out, an easy way out, and not be willing to teach them.
Right.
I think that's what you're talking about, to find out whether they're learning or not. Like, it's pretty tough when you really get down to it. Is you're talking about a person being able to work the phone or basketball or baseball or something like that, or even to music.
Mm-hmm.
And she relates to it real quick and you learn real fast. It could be something that they rather learn and then come down to things that they're not interested in. They won't put effort to learn. It could be that. So it's a catch 22 to that. You know how fast you can learn a song and don't have to hear it but a few times. And all of a sudden, you can get with that song. And don't let them hear something that the street is offering. And the street's going to offer a lot of profanity, and they'll learn it real quick. And start putting the beat to it, and once the beat is to it, learning behavior. I think learning in school should have a beat to it now, an interesting beat. You know, that'll cause kids to say, "Man, I'm ready to learn what that's about," because it's got a certain type of beat to it.
That's interesting you say that. Before I go to 1 second, Don, I want to recognize a caller out of St. Louis. Don't lose your thought, Don. Don't lose your thought. Welcome, caller 4644. We're talking about learning disabilities in schools and what parents need to know.
Well, you know, to be truthful with you, many of these adults have learning disabilities.
I mentioned that
especially
as well.
Parents.
I mentioned that.
I didn't hear. Yeah, I didn't hear that.
That's true. Well, that's
you're absolutely right. So, one learner disability would have a hard time teaching another something other than what the both of them know.
Yeah, and if I might, I don't want to cut you off, but if I might, one thing that we have to look at is the fact that this becomes a cultural or subcultural, I should say, or a community or neighborhood norm to accept that as being acceptable in terms of having whatever these displayed behaviors that are classified as learning disabled among adults, and they're passed on to children. So you tend to say, well, ain't nothing wrong with them. That's how all of us are. You see what I mean?
Well,
it has a domino effect.
Well, when you look at behavior,
mm-hmm.
if you look at constant complaint, you know, people say, well, blacks won't come together. Well, maybe they got a learned disability.
Uh-oh.
And the things that people believe in.
I'm coming to you, Don.
The spookism and the myths, the conspiracies, all that has to do with some mental capacity. Thank you, sir.
All right. Go ahead, Don. What were you going to say, sir?
I'm glad he said conspiracy, because let's be clear. Barack Obama's real father wasn't from Kenya. They're getting a special medal out of Kenya that we talk on these cell phones with. So they know what they was doing when they did what they did.
All right.
So that's culture too, Mr. Dockery. And listen this, Mr. Dockery, you a city boy.
Yes.
I'm a country boy. Yes. Can I tell you something? I've been dealing with
what's
the
that?
Soil, have you?
I have before. I know how to. But go ahead. What's your point?
And the reason I'm saying that to you, because I'm in Selma right now. I get up early and everybody sleep late. Why is everybody in the city sleeping late? Because the guy in the country, he gets up early.
Okay.
You sleeping late because you out smoking the man's dope. You drinking the man's liquor. Hey, urban guys, wake up, urban guys.
Hey, Don, I hear your point.
Go ahead.
But consider this. Your point is that in the rural or farm life, it is customary for people to go and work on the farm. Okay, and they start.
We get up at
4 o'clock
in the morning, Mr. Dockery.
I agree with that, and isn't that because
you guys in the city want to sit there and drink the man's looking and run his dope better come through there.
Don, stay follow me just for a second.
Go ahead.
I think I'm agreeing with you. I think I'm agreeing with you to a point anyway. And what I'm hearing you say is that we got some people coming in and we out in the public. Get you some water too, baby. Get you some chips. You're welcome. And then, Don, because the sun goes up and comes down at a certain time, isn't it important that you go out and work at a certain time because the sun is going to stop you at a certain time? And that's a different dynamic than an urban or city life. Because they have,
you know, Mr. Dockett, I don't think that's the reason.
Well,
the reason why I come to people out in the country and wake up so early is because them damn chickens be keeping up all that racket.
Nah, Doc, I mean, you got to touch that soil, Doc. You keep on playing crazy with me. I help you and Jesse Jackson out with hope one day. I make hope come reality. Because when you work that ground, ain't no more hope, it's reality, then.
Right now, excuse me one second, guys. Right now I'm doing a talk show, but if you guys would like to get some snacks there, go ahead and get you some snacks and take one of them cards home to your mom for me.
Car?
Yeah, take a flyer in the car. And I'm sorry, guys, we're doing two things at one time. We're in a public location. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry, what were you saying? And I'll get with you guys.
Look,
in a minute,
the
okay?
guys that fell for the Jesse Jackson game, listen to Big Brother, the intellectual Jack and all. Pepper done told that you took him off of room 202. And curved him to 306. So you're jacking off with your jaws is up. Come on with some reality now.
Well, we don't want to talk about that, though. We want to talk about learning disabilities and some things that we can't. Okay, thank you. Watch it. Be careful. Be careful. All right, y'all be good.
And
now,
Mr. Dockery.
All right, yeah.
When you was talking about special education, that's what they did with us out there in the integrated school out there in Dixon County. And we used to make fun of it. You know,
right.
you're going to say that the principal daughter, she gets Algebra 2 and we get Basic Math 1. All this so special topics. Like you were saying, you said it. You teaching up there in Nashville. That's what they do in Tennessee. They act like we got some kind of disability or some kind of disease. That's what they
do. It's not just Tennessee. It's not just in Tennessee. This is a practice and pattern in Peoria, Illinois as well. Is that right, 8112? Have you not heard of some of this in the schools?
Yes, I have.
Right. It's all over the country, Donna. And what has happened is when educators and school districts and even states are incapable of reaching certain learners, the justification is there's something wrong with the child. Not that we have not figured out how to reach them. You can't teach anybody you can't reach. So what happens is because of certain behaviors, people, and you have children that stay up all night long. By the time they get to bed, it's time to go to school the next morning, and they can't function in the traditional classroom. Why? They're tired. They've been allowed to run around out on the street past 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't eat a balanced meal. I'm not demonizing parents. I'm speaking to the behaviors that have been labeled, though, in formal learning environments because children are displaying certain things. And I'm suggesting tonight that what parents can do is take control over your children's time and the environment of your home in terms of what they have access to. They don't need to be on TV or on their cell phone all night. They don't need them at the dinner table. You understand what I'm saying? I know what the trends are, and it's a new thing, but you got to ask yourself, what do I need to keep my children safe and to make them successful? That's really where the conversation is.
Well, this is, Ms. Doc, what happened when you got a generation of older grandparents and parents, they believe in buying their children materialistic things, but don't teach their children how to create the materialistic things.
Let's talk about that, Don. That's conversation worthy of having. What do you think about that, Pastor Wallace? You there, Pastor? Okay.
I think it's a good thing to talk about.
Any comment on that? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just going to tune in and just listen a little bit more to that.
Okay, all right. So any comments, St. Louis, on that? A further comment on that? I'm going to offer some more, but you have any further comment on that?
Well, you know, in St. Louis County, they have a special school district for children with special needs.
Right.
And it's pretty large. It has its own budget, separate of the traditional school districts. And that's the way those communities chose to handle that problem that you were talking about.
Okay.
You know, my cousin is a medical doctor, and he actually went into Cook County Jail, which is a mini prison. And he was treating a lot of the guys that were in there, basically, make a long story short. And having grown up in the west side of Chicago, he himself was exposed to a lot of things that average people don't think a normal child should be exposed to at an early age, right? And he was sharing with me some of the research, and he actually has a part of his practice, psychiatry, focuses on ADHD, and they provide, you know, medical chemical treatments for it and things of that nature. But what I've observed is that children seemingly come in at the beginning of the school year, 8112.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to them long enough, they seem fairly normal. By the time they get them on all of these medicines,
right,
it's a whole other thing. You got to have 3 or 4 medicines just to balance out the effects of the first one.
And that is true. And a lot of kids don't need that medicine.
Yeah,
they don't need
And, you know, 8112, in my experiences as a special ed teacher, I found that a lot of the children, let me see how I say this right, 12. All they need is somebody to tell them, look here, boy, tighten me up now. I ain't playing with you.
Okay.
And they going to get their attitude straight a little bit.
Yep.
Don't need
right.
no medicine.
You're right.
You know.
But
I know it's political.
They don't want to get the kids different ones. So what they do is they recommend.
Can I speak to that, Mr. Dockery?
Hold on 1 second, Don. Let her finish. Go ahead, 12.
They recommend that they put them on Ritalin, which is something that's
right.
puts them in a zombified way, state of mind.
Right.
And then they want to say something. Well, sure, something's wrong with them. You give them kids these drugs, and they really don't need them.
Yeah. I mean, and what that is a mood controller, stabilizer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth of the matter is, when you structure, I'm coming to you, Don. When you structure the child's activities and their life, and you provide them opportunities to run and to exercise, and you understand what I'm saying, and balance
mm-hmm.
their life out, I think you can manage some of the hyperactivity. Now, don't get me wrong; there are some children who have severe intellectual disabilities. I'm not speaking of that, right?
Yeah.
There are some real intellectual disabilities. I'm talking about this classification of learning disabled or disability. It's a lot we can do about that as parents, because the biological things that come with intellectual disabilities, such as them being born with Down syndrome or mental retardation and things of that nature, disformity, that's nothing that anybody can really change. But a lot of this environmental-related behaviors, a lot of the behavior-related issues, that's something we can change. We can fix that. I'm sorry, Don. Go ahead.
Let's go to Genesis 1:29. Let's go what God said, because we came from a spiritual base. He said every plant-yielding seed was man for food, did he not?
Right. Right. That's what it says.
That's what God said.
That.
Now, listen to this, Mr. Dockery. Let's go to Nashville. Now, it would be beneficial to me if I was Andrew Jackson. You know what I'm saying? And me and my boys stealing dope out of Afghanistan, it would be beneficial to me that all y'all be on Ritalin.
Well, now help me understand.
See what I'm saying? So
you
got an environment right there in Nashville, Mr. Doctor. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I went to probate my mama's property, that's the first thing Mr. Ford asked me. How do you feel about that judge? And I said, I don't. But when I came out of that courtroom, Mr. Doctor, I didn't know this. The judge was more on dope than we was, because Mr. Ford told me.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And I didn't know that. I'm sitting in the back of the car, and he said, don't you know the judge is more high than you?
Don, there's a lady in the room listening to you. She seems to be in agreement with you, but you got to help me understand that a little bit more, man. How does that
relate? Well, Mr. Doctor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Them parents receive a crazy check for putting their kids on. Really?
Will you do me a favor, St. Louis? Can we use better phrases? Because I don't want parents to feel like it's some wrong with them. I understand what you're saying. I do.
No,
I do,
that's what they call it. That's what they call it.
I've heard that, St. Louis. I've heard that.
That's true.
But the children are not crazy. Children are crazy.
Well, I don't know anything else, but when the parents they had better, if not they'd be reported, but they received a check for every child that's on those medications.
That's correct.
And also, that medication is listed as a cause of mental illness, which don't allow a individual to get hired at certain jobs, and they can't get gun licenses,
right,
nor aviation jobs.
You're absolutely right.
Matter of fact, the Army won't take you if you ever been on that drug.
Correct. And before No Child Left Behind, which was a federal education initiative, children would graduate with special education certificates, even though they couldn't take that to a job, right? And they couldn't get a job, they couldn't go anywhere with it. They were getting special ed certificates. But now the requirement is that you educate everybody, right, and that you find a way to give them a normal diploma. I'm saying tonight, guys, my focus is on empowering the parents to be able to have greater control, right? And I'm not saying you have to be an expert in these things, but it seems to me that it helps to understand them so you know and won't allow everybody to run a game on you and your child. Does that make sense? Hey, what's well?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right. I was simply saying that I'm not suggesting parents have to go to school and to become experts at these things, these terms and jargons that are often used in school. But I'm saying it's helpful to have an understanding of them so that you won't allow anybody to run game on you or your children. And I was asking you, would you agree with that or disagree with that?
I would agree.
Okay. All right. Let me do this. We are in a different location, and where we're situated, I lost my phone signal a couple of times, as well as my internet connection for my Facebook feed. And so we're not doing live stream right now for that reason. I just wanted to explain that to you guys that we had a little problem there. But nonetheless, having said that, we continue. We got another about 40 minutes or so before tonight's episode wraps up here. So let me ask this question. If I could go back to something that was mentioned in the monologue. And, Don, I think I'm going to pose this to you because I know you were telling us, I think the last show we had, you were telling us about some of your experiences with vocational skills. And how that flipped, you know, and it displaced a lot of people in your coming up. And it was part of integration and cutting out certain vocational skills. So, Don, was it your experience that you and your peers had short attention spans and you couldn't remember things and you couldn't follow instructions? Was that the problem, Don?
No, sir, I don't think so, Mr. Doctor. You know, Steve, the other day, me and him was talking because his uncles can deal, and they came out of Hampton High School, which was an African-American high school before integration. So Steve said, and I didn't know this, he came from Springfield over to Dixon County, and he said he wanted to take shop because that's what his uncles did. He said all of a sudden they run him out of the class. And I said, Steve, I didn't know that. So, you know what I'm saying? And when I took shop, Mr. Docker, now, if my dad would have told me, my dad told me my grandfather was a good carpenter. You know what I'm saying? So if you have never been taught in an environment and know what your real skills are from your family down, then that blinds you too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Mm.
So integrated schools, like I said, to me, it messed our young men up. I'm going to tell you, that's what I see. All they wanted us for was to play basketball and make money off of them. And you know what I'm saying? So I agree with Pastor Wilder on that. That's what I saw in Dixon County. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this, Mr. Doctor. I want you guys to get this. When I came back from Chicago to Tennessee and my dad had ran for Congress, I had noticed the good old boys in the surrounding counties of Nashville got a main construction company there north of Tennessee State called Concrete Form Erector. And they together, and they building. So they build all of Nashville. And guess what? I'm 60 years old. I'm going to be out. Y'all want to know why I'm angry? Because y'all let all the good old boys get all the money and we didn't get none.
This lady is really rich. She's feeling you tonight, John.
Well, Nashville, I know
so,
Nashville looks
yeah,
different.
But,
I've been down in Selma. But that's where I'm kidding. So tell Cooper don't come in my way. You tell the FBI keep Cooper out of my way.
All right.
Yeah,
right,
but the good old boy is still getting the money even today. So who's to blame for that?
So what can we do, St. Louis, to change that? That's, you know, because really, I can't disagree with you all, right? But what can we do to change that? How can we position ourselves? When I say we, I'm talking about those that feel marginalized, those that feel left behind, those that feel as though they've been discriminated against. What can we do to change that for ourselves? Now, we don't nobody else to do it.
Well, it depends on what you want to do. What is it that you want to do?
Okay. Well, all right. So I would often say, you know, the thing we missed out on is the formal knowledge. See, informally, we pick up on things around our environment and from people we see that have an impact on us emotionally. But then there's a formal process of learning that I'm convinced that if we made ourselves available to it, we were disciplined enough to embrace it, that, you know, we can find ourselves more competitive with others in society.
Well,
anybody think I'm wrong about that?
You said if you're disciplined enough to embrace it. Well, you can't make people do things they don't want to do.
That's true, too.
So it gets down, it gets back down to the same old reality. A lot of people just are not going to make it.
Okay. Well, there are people in the grave that did make it right now, St. Louis, so I can't say that everybody is going to make it. I mean, and, you know, I've heard people say, Pastor Wallace, we ain't trying to do all that blank, blank you're talking about. I mean, so what do you do? You know what I mean? If a person's made up their mind, they satisfied where they are, do you have a right to try to make them, Pastor Wallace, or when? At what point do we cut off?
You know, what I like about the whole concept of it all is that you find something that works for you. And this is the thing that I'm saying about professional schooling, to be inside, to be educated. It's got the right tune to it. You have to have the right tune. In other words, they'll play by the tune. No matter, I'm not talking about playing no music, no singing no song. I'm talking about making it interesting, making learning, don't be afraid, interesting. And when they become interesting, and if a person ever try it and like it, you know, then that's when it goes into another level. You know that song years ago that said, you can make it if you try.
Right.
And if you try and then start liking it, that's just like getting a hit of some drugs that maybe a lot of people hadn't experienced yet. If a person ever took a hit of some type of drug and like it, then they decide to do it again. And the same thing with learning. If the person go to school, I was always told, even in the streets, and I said this not too long ago, when the student shows up, the teacher will appear. And once the teacher appears and the teacher has the right tune, you know, it brings forth the interest. But they have to have the right tune. Now, I'm saying that to say this is something that I'm just now learning myself. Because some things I just didn't know. I didn't know anything about it at all. But once the man had the right tune, in other words, I'm talking about preacher, this pastor, the overseer of a church. And one day I came in as a visitor, ignorant, unlearned, didn't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know how to change the changeable things that was in my life. But I heard
okay.
the tune that he came from and the way he sounded when he said, God is able. That was a tune.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Not a lot of words,
okay.
but a lot of power. See that tune? God is able. So what it made me think is like, okay, with all this I got going on, is he able to change me? I slid in. I slid in the blank. Filled it in. You know what I mean? I slid it right on in there. Okay, God is able. He's able
okay.
to change me. And I guess,
okay.
I guess you know, amen, that was the right tune, brother.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Dockett.
Yes, sir.
You live in Nashville, right? Nashville city proper or county?
Well, yeah, for the last 32 years, yes.
All right, let
Davidson
me ask
county.
You a question.
Davidson County.
Take any square blocks area, how many churches would you say that exist in that area?
Well, I'll say I'm going to say at least upward from 5 to 10. Okay.
Well, let me give you an example. In the St. Louis
okay.
area, if you was on Page Avenue and go over 1, 2, 3, about 4 blocks to Delmar,
uh-huh.
from Taylor at Page and Delmar, and go down about 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 long blocks. In that area, you have 35 churches. Now, from Page to St. Louis Avenue on Taylor, you got what was or presently is at least a dozen churches. Now, here's why I make reason why that they do more bad than they do good.
What, churches?
It's because, yes, let me tell you why. Because those buildings, those 37 I just got through, no, 47 I just got through mentioning to you, don't pay any property taxes. Property taxes that would go toward the funding of the school system in the city of St. Louis. And that's just that one little area.
Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. So let me ask you this. Their status as, because they are 501(c)(2) nonprofit, according to the Internal Revenue Service, you're saying that their status as a non-for-profit religious organization is problematic within the Afro-American community? Am I hearing you correctly?
Well, not only that, but I said 47, and on a Sunday they probably average, say, 20 people apiece. So that's 900, that's 94, that's 940 people who all are either old on retirement or have minimal, menial wage jobs. So they're not paying taxes either.
So
with that much property, with that much property and that much entities with people are not paying toward an education facility
okay.
or system, then it cannot operate efficiently. It's a drawdown on the society.
All right, I take your point. I think someone wanted to respond.
Mr.
Dockery. Yes, sir. Yes.
You know what was strange to me today? And I got to be honest with you, brothers. You brothers, y'all, I ain't in a fraternal organization. I ain't putting nobody
don't
down.
Forget
but as soon as this is Mr. Dockery, but as soon as I said that we opened up a Morris Science Temple in front of Salem University, man, I just got bucked and almost fell on the ground.
Okay.
Because in the Circle 7, or the Holy Quran that the prophet brought, it said turn the church and Christianity back to the European nations.
All right. Done.
So, to me, we've been conditioned, that's what I'm looking at, we've been conditioned on a spiritual side to think like Europeans think on a spiritual side.
So I hear what you're saying, but would you consider this, Don? There are people, there are young people and some old
who've never been to any type of religious setting or experience, and they're the ones who are catching hell right now in these urban neighborhoods and communities. They don't get nothing about none of the religious thought. That's not how they process their life and deal with difficulties, though. Some of them
are
like, my only God is this 9mm I got, or this bottle I got, or some drugs that I might turn to. That's the only hope they know of. So how do we reach them done? How do we reach them done and get them, even if we can't get them to embrace more science, Christianity, Islam, or any other ideology of religious thought, how can we get them to the reality that changing your behavior and how you
Mr. Dockery, I certainly agree. Listen to this, Mr. Dockery. Have you ever been in a household you never seen the Bible?
Yes. Yes.
I'm experiencing
that. I've been to some places like that. But guess what? You got to be the Bible. Is that right, Pastor Wallace? You've got to be the light. So
yeah,
some people don't know that.
This is what's so important about what I'm hearing now. You know, it brings forth a very powerful form of information. And
okay.
I came into church as a visitor. I wasn't coming in looking for no religion.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I was looking for help for my life, and the words are powerful. I just said earlier about the right to. You know, in other words, what the overseer, the pastor of the church, was digging for. I don't know what they were doing before I came into the church. It was a lot of people in there. I don't know what they were doing before I came in. I'm just not coming in. What I do know, he was saying the right tune when he got in there. Because the words that he said that came from his mouth were so powerful, they made me come back.
Okay.
And when I came back, I was getting stronger and didn't even know it. To be able to rescue someone like myself, and three others here right now as we speak. Another thing is out there caught up into the drug game and playing the skill of everything else that street life has to offer. That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But is there
okay.
hope? Yes. Yes, there's hope.
Okay.
Because
okay.
they played the right tune. If the people inside those buildings, which all of them don't have to be infected, but if just one of those buildings that have people in it is infected, that's a winner. That's a winning situation right there, man. You understand?
Okay.
In other words, at least there is hope. So I'm not going to belittle the building. I just want to make sure that I'm aware that the right tune is coming out of that building. Somebody's
right.
speaking. If he got power, and you know that you're bringing something to the table, then you're speaking the right tune. So those kids you're talking about that they're giving that medicine to, that's the kind of tune that they bring it to them. And so when it gravitates to it, it captures their mind. So picture you bringing forth something that would free them up from that, and it has the right tune to it. They wouldn't even want
right.
this stuff. You know what I mean? I didn't want to continue to do the drugs I was doing. The drugs were destroying me. And once the man said, God is able, look here, brother, I guess you know, man, that had so much power, then I became a minister later on. If you check that out, here I am, a man that was possessed with all the evil things of the world. And just because I came into that building and had a hunger and a thirst for change in my life, I had a chance to experience it, man. And then was selected later on to become a minister. You can't tell me that there's not no power in them buildings, man, but you have to have the right tune.
Okay, okay.
Yes,
well, I appreciate you sharing that. Let me just identify what our purpose is tonight. This is a part of our special tour with the Parent Choice Network here in Nashville. And I apologize for our Facebook live stream feed. Our connection was interrupted some kind of way. I think it's because of where we are in the building here. But nonetheless, that was cut off. But we want to encourage you to go to that blog page, Well, you can hear this whole show in its entirety after tonight. TCNTN.org, as well as parents, go there and learn about different opportunities. We're still getting clarification on it, but it has been our understanding that there's opportunity for you to receive funding for this is school choice month, and the opportunities for you to focus on tutorial resources, as well as if you want to supplement the tuition in a private school setting, you can do that as well. There are opportunities for parents here, basically. That's what we're talking about. That's what the Parent Choice Network is really about, is building that dialogue. So with that in mind, we have this topic tonight, learning disabilities in schools. What parents need to know. What parents need to know. That's where the focus is. I want to ask you a question, 8112. You there?
Yes.
Do you know how many children the school system there in Peoria had or have?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. What about you, Don? Do you know?
Know what?
Selma. Do you know how many children in the school system that Selma has or had?
No, sir, I have not did any research on that. Matter of fact, they're running for school board. I mean, school board down here now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never did research in it. But since you brought it up, Mr. Darby, guess what? I think I'd dive off into
how it
operates.
Let me pose that to St. Louis. Do you know there in your county, St. Louis, how many schools in there?
Let me tell you something. If I'm going to participate in a conversation, I'm going to come prepared. I'm not going to be half-stepping. In the city of St. Louis, you got 23,884.
All right. That's how many the school system had?
That's the present population of the St. Louis public school system, yes.
Then let me 23,884.
How could someone not know that if they have concern about this topic?
Well,
I tell you why. You might go to the school board and you might be somebody's child and you might catch an attitude because Negro, Black, and Colors, that's in Greek fraternities, keep folk out. You ever thought of it like that?
All right. No, I don't think he has. But let's get back
you
to
can
the
go online and find it.
Right, well,
hold on,
get your boy Jess and tell him I'm waiting for him this year. Tell the Secret Service I'm waiting for him.
Okay. All right, so here we go. I asked the question because in reality, guys, the school system, irregardless of where you are, none of them had those children. Parents did. And where the power lies and for those children is with their parents, whether they know how to use that, that they have that power or not. It's important that they are empowered to understand that your child make up that total number. In Davidson County, we have 82,424, right? But the school system didn't give birth to none of them, right? The parents gave birth to them. And where the real power lies is with those parents. If you don't know, you need to get up and find out like the back of your house is on fire. And that's really what this is all about. We have to make sure, and when I say we, I'm talking about parents now. And I'm not just talking about African-American parents. Every parent needs to make sure that their child has the best. I believe that every parent wants the best. Some people don't know how to give the very best they can, but they want it. They didn't want to live a crappy life and have the turmoil and the troubles they had. They faced them. And And the thing is, we won't be able to turn back those hands of time. We'll be able to get them back their childhood. But if we can make life better for our children, St. Louis, I agree with your premise and your position that it's really about you and your choices you make and being able to determine the best place and the best means for your child's education. And whenever those opportunities are available, everybody should take advantage of them. It's not about school systems and the grown people that work in them. It's about the children who are supposed to benefit from it. That's what
the thing is.
But, Mr. Docker, when you say it's about the children, I hear y'all talking about it, and I hear what the brother said a while ago. Mr. Dockery, can I get your attention? Here in Selma, Alabama, you got a bunch of Greek folk that's in fraternities running the school system. Do they really want their children educated, or do they just want to look good in materialistic things?
Don, my point to you tonight is that it's not about anybody Greek, anybody French, or anything else. It's about the parents. And the more empowered the parents are, the more they can hold everybody that has influence or access to their children to account. That's what's important. I don't care what your experience is, where you come from as a teacher. I'm talking about myself now because I used to be one. It's not about me or what I want. It's about what's best for those children. Now,
I certainly agree.
Now, that requires adults, parents, and teachers and administrators to be in agreement that we all are working in the interest of our of the parents.
Hey,
children.
Get it to your mother, man.
Yeah, St. Louis, I'm sorry, you were trying to say something.
Well, here's the thing, and the reality is this. Some communities don't take on those responsibilities, and you and I know that. I told you about a documentary that's on YouTube. It's about the Detroit Public School. It was done by Mr. Wallace with 60 Minutes, and it's titled A National Disgrace. Now, when you see that video and see the behavior of the board and the parents, then maybe you understand, or whoever can understand, what you're dealing with. Now, but I can give reference to a school district in St. Louis County, and it was called Hawthorne.
Okay.
They had a discrepancy in the financing in that school district. You know what the people in that district done?
What's that?
They fired the whole board
and
the superintendent. Francis Hawthorne is the name of it.
The
board is elected.
Okay,
yes,
so they came
elected
and voted. They came and voted them out and put other folk in.
They came and voted them out. And you've heard me say this before, that citizens should be able to recall school board members. In the vast majority of places, you can't do that. And that would have to be something that's brought up by the state legislature. Recall those school board members. And one more thing, in the United States, and I forget which U.S. Census made the report, there was about 18.2 million black people. It might have been males, but it wasn't males. It had to be black people above the age of 18, and that's a lot of people to be dealing with. So if you have individual experiences, and also all 18 million of those are not having these problems you're talking about, so that gives you an idea of the totality of people that you're dealing with.
Okay. Let's hear what you got to say. You asking a question or were you making a statement?
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay. So I was going to highlight something you said, and that we have to be mindful that when we speak broadly about these issues that people are confronting, it's important to recognize that everybody is not going through them. So everybody is not representative of those same challenges. In fact, some people have determined and figured out how to avoid them. I would argue that it would be wise to try to catch up with those folks. And if you're concerned and you're looking to change, ask, hey, how did you do it, man? What can I do? You know, it looked like you and I are just about the same. And what did you do to get to where you are? And what would it take for me to get there, you know? Does that sound reasonable, 8112?
I was interrupted. The kids had the music up. I didn't hear you. I was on mute.
Okay. Huh?
I said I was on mute. I didn't hear you.
Okay. So I was asking you, is it reasonable to think that you should those who don't know and who are interested in finding out should perhaps consult those who figured it out and have been successful at what they're trying to do. Is that reasonable to reach out to them and ask them for
I think
help
it's very reasonable.
Okay.
Knowledge is power.
That's it. That's it.
Hey, Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir, Don. Yes, sir.
Mr. St. Louis made a real good point. I hear what he was saying, and I'm glad he brought it up, what he brought up, Mr. Dockery. What I experience is, it's a police officer, you know, they came and they've been listening to us, so they throw me out there at the county jail. So I go down there and show them what my brother left out with the intelligence information. But his wife works in the school system here. So what he's saying is, and I see that too, there's politics played with these school boards, and they making money. So are they, and like he's saying, it some have to be worked out with the legislator and the school board. I agree with that.
Well, most states determine the rules and guidelines for education within the state, and that affects your local governments, either municipality or county governments, that tend to manage those local schools and what have you. So that's absolutely right. I mean, for instance, in Chicago, Illinois allows the mayor to appoint a superintendent and a school board. So they're not elected to the board. In fact, they have a very powerful parent group there in Chicago. My mom actually used to be a part of it, where they basically have a loud voice in terms of policy for the Chicago school system. It seems to me that that voice has dwindled over the years, and people have kind of given up on it, and they just trust and lean on the school district to do the right thing. And we see a lot of children falling by the wayside, and that's the saddest thing. But nonetheless, that's kind of what it is, kind of what it is. Well, we have about 13 minutes before we wrap up tonight. Let's get some final thoughts. Don, you talking to somebody?
No, it's some brothers here, right. And one of them from Chicago. And
okay.
That's when I would tell you what you be talking about, Mr. Dockery. I'm going to say something to you. The spy got his imps out. Don't think they ain't out.
Well, it's a national, in fact, it's an international show, Don. There are people, I've said.
Yeah, but no, that ain't what I'm saying. Mr. Dockery.
Which number?
Your boy Jesse, they never put him in jail. The Justice Department don't want no education. And these Negro blacks and colors that's in leadership position, they got their imps out.
I respect your position, but I respectfully want you to know that I don't own anybody. That's not my boy.
Me either, Mr. Darker, but I'm just letting you know what's going on.
Well, I can't control this.
And the way I look at it, Mr. Dockery, you just said something, and the young man, he's from Chicago, and what you just said about them and that mayor up there, and I'm going to be honest with the listening audience and you. I was up there when Harold Washington was up there. I was up there when they went to the back room with Harold Washington, and then after they got rid of Harold Washington. So, and now you see what's back up there again.
Well,
I guess they love that.
Don, here's what I want you to leave with tonight. You cannot control people in positions of power and political positions and what have you. You can't control them directly, but you can't control yourself. One way is to exercise your vote and to do that along with other like-minded thinkers like you. If you feel as though they're not best representing your interests, you do have that voice in society. Do a vote. So be busy about aligning yourself with a community of people who share those values for education and to make those necessary changes. Because, you know, just calling names and...
Well, Mr. Dockery, it is what it is. He's been there that long. And guess what, Mr. Dockery? I'm 60 years old, like I told him. This year you come to Jubilee, it's on. And I see your little boys around you, sissy boy, Jesse. I'm going to go call it straight to him. You need to quit playing your game with your little sissy boy, Jesse, and grow up and be me. That's why I'm going to tell him, Mr. Dockery. You want me to be straight now?
Please remember the decorum on Talk Street, sir. Please keep
in
mind.
Yeah, but I'm just letting you know how they're playing it. That's what they like, Mr. Docker. They love that.
I appreciate that, but I don't have anything. We're not trying to.
I'm just
going to
tell you like it. You're a sissy boy. So the boy's been messing with a sissy boy.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Don. I appreciate you.
Hey, hold
anybody
hey,
else?
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to tap back into what you was talking about saving the kids. Right? You understand?
Thank you.
The importance of that is that we don't want to exclude the one who created this day. I mean, you know, I think I'm being reminded of it. You know, the prayer said, think of these things. Think on these things, you know, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is honest, and of good report. You know, it said a lot of those real powerful things. So it has to do with how can we best reach these young kids, because we've been young ourselves before.
Right.
And so we would love for someone to have been able to reach us. I know I personally think, even my coach, from growing up, you know, he did all that he can do, even though the world ended up capturing him. You know, and it wasn't because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. It's just it was a tune that was played outside of the arena of all the positive things that I was doing. And I had a chance to step into it, and it captured me. So, in other words, we have to do something that prevents that from taking place to so many innocent kids. And so I like to say this, if you don't mind. The scripture says, not me, the scripture says here, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You know, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Okay, so what I had to deal with when I learned that, okay, I used to serve the enemy, and I served the enemy well. And it was because of the tune that was played to cause me to do what I used to do. So on the flip side, I learned another tune. And the tune is that whatever I do it heartily as unto the Lord. And I like that tune a lot better, because at least I'm reaching out, doing what I can do to help somebody else. So I just wanted to share that with you to kind of get back into the swing of how can we best help the young, the one that's ignorant and unlearned, such as I was myself. And, you know, there's so many out there, man. We have to do something to get them free. And that's
right.
Just where it is.
Right.
It's a must.
Mr. Duckett.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I want you to listen to this. Listen to this real good. It's going to take about 10 seconds. Here we go.
I am calling upon members of both parties to pass an education bill that funds school choice for disadvantaged youth, including millions of African American and Latino children.
Mr. Dockett.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard a president say those words?
That one.
Donald J. Trump. He said specifically for African American kids, talking about choice, which you have been talking about all along. That's the basis of your organization, right?
Well, that's this initiative that we're this informative initiative. That's
it. It's about choice.
Right.
You want to see who your opposition to that is, as I have said before, you got your Democrats, your NAACP, and those teachers' unions. That's the reality.
You know, here's where I believe the greatest need and what we need to inform people about their opportunity, and that is the parents. Whether they're Democrats or members of NAACP, they need to understand that their children are going to benefit from this more than anybody else. And that's the bottom line. It ain't about politics. It's about saving our babies. So I appreciate what you're saying there. Let me go to St. Louis. Not St. Louis. 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois there. You want to give us a final thought there, darling?
Yes, I don't have much to say outside of everybody doing what they're doing, and I wish everyone well. And so you guys have a blessed night.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right.
Guys.
Hopefully we'll hear from you Thursday. Appreciate
all
you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So let me just take this time in this last few minutes to kind of wrap up where we are. As we said, this is Parent Choice Network. We're promoting an initiative, as St. Louis said, that is really about parent choice. That's its focus. That's the primary focus, is on parents knowing, first, that you have a choice, second, how to use that, and more importantly, that it's most beneficial to our children. School systems don't own your children. They're tasked with giving them a public education, but they don't own it. They don't own a decision as to how those children should learn and could. Okay? Parents do. And so we want to encourage and empower parents. Now, though, having said that, there are some schools, public schools, that are doing a fabulous job, that produce well. Sadly enough, systematically, there is a tremendous need for reform, for more collaborative activities with parents and engagement on that level. But it's, again, ultimately, it's the parents' choice. I want to encourage you to go to PCNTN.org, learn a little bit more about what we're doing here in Nashville and how we're trying to provide opportunities for parents to be able to have a greater voice in the course of your children's life as a result of their quality and level of education. We appreciate everybody that's joined us tonight there. With that being said, Pastor Wally, you want to give us a final thought, and we'll cut off. We'll see you Thursday night at our regular time, 7 o'clock p.m., 7 to 9 on Talk Street. All right, Pastor Wally, let me turn it over to you, sir.
Yes, sir. I tell you, it's been a pleasure to be able to assemble once again. Everyone who had a chance to talk as well as that are listening. The moral of the story is that the Word of God is for the people of God, and we have to always acknowledge Him first. So I love when He says, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge means to recognize, you know, give Him His just due. Let Him know we need Him. And I just want to just emphasize on how when He said, this is the day that the Lord has made, He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. So there's a lot of work to be done. Yes, it is. But we have a right to utilize the power that He extends to us. So I want to encourage you, Pastor Doctor, to keep on doing what you're doing. Stay steadfast and allow the Lord to guide you into all truth. Because that's the only thing that's going to make us free. And once we get free, we can go out and to help other people.
Right.
John 8:32 right. Saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth
and
shall
the truth.
Make you free. Amen.
Right.
So I just want to make that known constantly. Don't forget that. Keep that in the forefront. And everything's
right.
Going to be all right. Because God got you covered.
Okay.
I yield back to you with that note.
All right. With that, we thank you. This has been another episode of Talk Street. We were talking from the topic, learning disabilities in schools, what parents need to do. I'd like to encourage you to go and hear the whole show in its entirety. You can catch it on pcntn.org there to hear that. We'll be back for our regular episode on Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard, and we open up to our broader audience there. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you. We'll be at another location, and we'll be announcing some different times on next week. But thank you very much on behalf of Pastor Ricky Wallace and your host, Reverend Ruben Dockery. We are appreciative, and we'll see you then.